Sachs continuing the interview with Herman Snyder on September 29, 1993. And Mr. Snyder, you started to talk about your philosophy of what should be done or what's the matter with the state of the world now politically. Can you continue with that?
Well, I start telling you that I was religious while I was at home. My upbringing was religious because I spent a lot of time in yeshiva, I said before, but after the war, I completely divorced myself from Jewish religious traditions. I accepted reality as a human being because I saw so much and I learned that what I used to believe ardently wasn't the truth. In my mind, if there would be a God, he would have never allowed what happened to 6 million Jews and others. That's why today I live a life according to my own thoughts, my own convictions, and my own way of life.
I want to, get some actual facts down, too. You said that you came to Mount Pleasant, which is a little town in Westmoreland County.
35 miles from Pittsburgh.
Yes, I've been famous for the China place there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you came to this country, you had these new convictions that you were anti-religious. I did want to back up and say, your wife was not Jewish, and when you married her, was that a big problem, or was it a problem with her family, or at that point, weren't you still Jewish in your thinking? Was that a problem?
It was a problem for a while with her father, and the reason was he didn't want her to live with me, because he knew I would leave back to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But then he got a liking to me because I made windows for his house. I don't know. So. What
did
else?
Did we have her name, your wife's maiden name?
Anna. A-N-N-A.
Her last name? Hmm? What was her last name?
Anna. Your last name?
Her last name?
Manochina.
Oh dear.
Manochina. Manochina.
Well,
I think
we'll
I'm good at spelling too good.
Mm-hmm. And so all these years you've been married, how many years would that be since 1943?
It would be 50 years now.
50 years. Has your wife accepted Judaism, or does she not? You don't
more than I did. She sent my children to Sunday school. She made bar mitzvah for my son in Tree of Life Synagogue.
Hmm.
She goes for services.
That's great. Wait a minute.
And I
made a bar mitzvah. Tree of Life, huh?
Yes.
So that is she. Well, now Tree of Life is a conservative synagogue.
Yes.
Do they accept her as a converted Jew, or? I mean, because I heard of a where a young woman I knew married a non-Jew and they would not accept him. Was she converted or officially?
I would never do this to her. I would never persuade her to convert to somebody else's religion. She wanted it, and she told me that she is having bar mitzvah for my son. I said, I'll be there.
But she herself was never officially converted.
No, she's a human being.
No, I understand, but I know how it is with the the Tree of Life. And did they know that she was not Jewish?
David Dinking knew, and Rabbi Kaplan was a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Knew, yes, they all knew. But she integrated, and she became more Jewish than I am.
Okay, that's.
Religiously speaking.
Okay, so when you were living in Mount Pleasant, and when did you come to Pittsburgh?
We came to Pittsburgh, but it was 1954.
Mm-hmm. And you were working as a carpenter?
Yes.
Were you, now, did you join the Carpenters Union?
Yes.
It's a very strong union, right?
Yes.
Then as a member of the union, did you work on building, you worked in others constructing?
From 1949 till 1954, I worked on jobs, building houses, and union jobs. In 1954, I started for myself, subcontracting carpenter work for contractors.
It was 1954.
Yes.
Okay. Do you still belong to the union when you were
I belonged to 288 local in Homestead, but now no more.
But when you went in for yourself, you don't have to be?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then did you have people working with you, like other carpenters?
Yes, we were five, six, with one foreman, and we all worked together.
And so were they union?
Yes, all of them, yes.
Would you say that your living in the Soviet Union influenced your political views? You seem to say that things were better there, that you don't like the capitalistic system, correct?
No.
Did you learn that in?
No. Going through life, mm-hmm. running for my life, living through in the Soviet Union during the most times when mm-hmm. almost 30 million Russians perished to save civilization. What I'm trying to tell you is, if a man like Eisenhower, Robert Montgomery, and Churchill, and Roosevelt, and Truman, and Oppenheimer, and Einstein could say on May 8, 1945, thanks God for the Red Army, that civilization was saved, who am I to contradict them? They knew more than I did.
But the Red Army, that was during the war. But politically, where did you get the idea that the capitalist system was no good?
Because of the feudalism, the bourgeoisie, the aristocracy, colonialism, and capitalism after this caused all the problems, not only for Jews, but for all mankind. And the Jews suffered more than anybody else. Because I'm coming back to what I said before. Everything the Jews and others do is not against the law. They're allowed to exploit, to subjugate, to demoralize, to enrich themselves on somebody else's sweat and blood. It's not against the law. In a situation like that, people don't think about others. They are not ethical, moral, or understand others. And that's the problem. And that's why men paid for centuries in wars, religious wars and economic wars.
Religious and... is there anywhere in the world now that you can look at and say, well, that system is good? Would you say that Russia, after the war, was a good system? Or, do you think that they had a better way of life than we did in the United States?
In 1945, when the war ended, they were trying to concentrate their ingenuity, their economical resources to improve materially, economically, for the Russian people who paid such a price to save civilization. But again, the Western world United States, England, France, and others interfered in their way of life. And in 1945, there were 8 atom bombs in England ready to be sent to destroy Moscow and Leningrad, organized by the United States. So to answer your question, good. When in 1945, I remember, I worked on a farm, they sent me. There were 9 women and 1 man. All the men were killed during the war.
I want to get more of your politics, and of course, it's not my place to argue this with you, we'll go on to something else. I think a lot of people would be surprised to think that Russia is better than...
Okay. I never said Russia is better. I never said that. Mm-hmm. There's two... Mm-hmm. I never said that.
You came to this country and you stayed here.
I'm only saying that they are the one. Because of their blood, I'm alive today, mm-hmm. and all the rest of the Jews in the world are alive. I don't want to get into specifics. Mm-hmm. Economic way of life, it was there. This is already a different subject. But I'm telling you concrete, I'm telling you specific how it was, mm-hmm. and what I saw, and what I lived through. I could never hate them. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Bergen from Tree of Life Synagogue, mm-hmm. called me and gave me 77 telephone numbers to go to the refugees in Moscow. And I said, Rabbi Bergen, I'm not a spy, and I will never spy against the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. Then when we came back, 4 other men came, one by the name of Mr. Cohn. 82 people came to the Tree of Life Synagogue, and they were telling the people, most of them, Holocaust survivors like me. Mm. They were telling them they are killing Jews in Russia. This was in 1987. Mm. After they spoke, Rabbi Bergen said, questions and answers. I said, those people who just spoke lied. I speak the language fluently. Mm. I was there with them. I didn't see any Russians killing Jews. Oh, they'll do it in the future. I said, are you a prophet? That's why I left the Tree of Life. Then he called me for tea. Then he apologized last year before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He said, forgive us, come back, join the Tree of Life Synagogue again. I said, thank you, Rabbi Bergen.
Then you're ignoring pogroms that took place in the... Why did all the Russians, Jews leave Russia in the 1800s? That's another thing. Okay.
This is exactly what I'm trying to... In 1918, Petlura, Kolchak, in Kiev, in Kharkov, in Poltava, in Ukraine, they were doing the same thing what the Germans did in the Second World War to the Jews, burning them alive. That's why I was trying to elaborate before, mm-hmm. why those things are happening, why mm-hmm. they don't like the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. All
you
right.
See,
okay. You are living in Pittsburgh. By this time, how many children do you have?
3.
And where did you come to live in Pittsburgh when you came from Mount Pleasant?
Let's see, where did we live? We lived, I started working in 1954-55 on Mount Royal Road. I built the whole street, I told mm-hmm. you. And we lived in McKeesport. And I was coming from McKeesport to work in Pittsburgh. And then I built my house and became here.
Okay. When you say that you built Mount Royal Road, was that your own project? I mean, did you finance it, or were you working for someone else?
No, everything was mine. I was the general contractor.
So you had, by that time, acquired some money that you, I mean, a stake that you could...
A lot of money.
What kind of money?
A lot of money.
But in a couple of years.
Yes, in a couple. This I never had a problem. No. just because I learned one thing to do, and I continued doing what I learned. I concentrated everything on specifics, on what I do best. I never did anything else except carpenter work. And I continued working. I didn't want any my uncles, my relatives to give me anything. I wanted to work and support myself and for my family.
Well, I'm amazed because I know, you know, that this would be a big project. I'm writing. So that by the time 1954 came, you had a stake large enough to buy this big piece of property and to start building houses. And this came from carpentry work.
No, this was... I built two houses for Dr. Stengel and for Buddy Jacobson on Montreal Road.
Buddy Jacobson?
Yes. When Mr. Aisley, excavator, saw me building two beautiful homes on Montreal Road, he proposed to me that he'll give me all the lots, and he wanted me to build the houses. I didn't have to pay except $1 for each lot. When I built the houses, I got money from the bank, then I paid for the lot and to the bank, and whatever I made was mine.
I see. So he was trusting you that he thought that you would...
No, he owned the lot.
Yes. Yes, but he gave you the others for $1?
Yes, and then I paid him $13,000 later when the house was built. Yeah.
He must have had great confidence in you.
Yeah, because he saw me putting up two houses there. And also Larry Polly also helped me, yes. He gave me six lots. Also, I didn't have to pay.
They gave it to you with the idea that you would pay after you...
Yes.
Is that the usual way to do business?
It is the usual way if they see that. I imagine that you're doing that. You know what you're doing. Yes.
Well, would you, when you're talking about your economic activities, would you classify them as capitalistic? When you were, you know, building and selling and so on.
If you want to call having men working for me and building houses for sale, yes, it is capitalistic.
Did you design the houses? You designed this house that you lived in. So although you don't have an architectural degree, are you...
I was making preliminary for each lot has their own elevations. So I was making preliminary, then I went to Qualwasser in Comandaris. You know Qualwasser, nice man, beautiful man. And he worked with me, he made the plans for me.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
So this has been about 40 years.
Yes.
What do you think of Pittsburgh when you first came here? Has it improved? What do you think of the city?
The reason I came here is because I knew there were Jewish people live here, and certain things you cannot divorce yourself or live otherwise. I was born Jewish. I live Jewish and I'll die Jewish. So I wanted to live where the Jews are.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me, I told you.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah. But you came to Pittsburgh, and when you came in '50s and now it's 40 years later, you know, what do you think of the city of Pittsburgh? You came from another country, another civilization, or another lifestyle. What do you think? How did Pittsburgh hit you? And, you know, are you happy that you're here? Is it a good city? You know, or would you rather be in some...
No. Pete, the reason first I came because my family was here.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Pittsburgh was good to me because I made a good living, and my three children are all doctors. I want to criticism, whatever, I don't know because they call it. But they got all doctors, and they're working, they're supporting themselves. They took, I hope, examples from me. If you want something, you have to go out and work. You mind your own business.
Mm-hmm. Let's get your children's name while we're at it, their ages and their names.
Jane Snyder is 49.
Jane Snyder, okay, 49. She's single?
Yes.
What does she do?
She got a PhD in Carnegie Mellon, and she's in finance in San Francisco.
Well, she's in San Fran.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thelma Snyder she came back from Northwestern University, got a BA, got a master's in Russian at Pitt University.
In
Russian. Entered dental school, got a doctorate in dental school, then specializing in prostodontist.
Okay, and she's married and has children?
Yeah.
What is her husband's name?
Her husband is Mark Lang.
L-A-N-G?
Yes, and he's a chief plastic surgeon in Montevideo.
You don't fool, huh?
No, he just performed a sex operation to a woman, 25.
Oh,
he came home
good.
For dinner. He told me what he did in six days. Yeah. Mother, brother, daughter picked up a son.
Yes, that's really another story.
Yeah.
Okay, and then your third child?
Third child is Charles, 33.
Oh, we didn't get how old Thelma was.
Thelma is 42.
Okay, and Charles is
33, graduated from Alta Dice, went to Oberlin, Ohio, came back, entered dental school, practiced for himself, and now he's back in school for implants.
Okay, and is he married?
No.
And you have two grandchildren?
Yes. Yeah.
That's Thelma's children?
Yes.
And you built them a little playhouse. I see.
Yes. I sleep myself there when it's hot. It's beautiful. No air conditioning. It's always cool.
And when did you build this house that you live in now?
1962.
This was your own... own design?
Yes.
How would you describe it?
It's a split level. Modern split level.
But it has many individual touches of furnishings, everything. There's sort of a special...
My wife does the furnishing. My wife is my bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. My wife, she does everything. I do the work, building, and she does the rest. We work together as a team.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
Aren't you lucky?
Well, at least to be lucky, you have to put some. You have to do something for it. Like mazel is three words. Hem, mem is mokoim. It's in Hebrew, it's a place. Zamach, it's zov, it's gold. And lamad, it's limud, it's education. If you have all the three things, you have mazel.
What are the three words in English?
It's mazel. Mem. Mem in Hebrew, it's mokoim. It's a place. Zamach is zov. It's gold. And lamed, it's limud. It's education. If you have all the three things, you have mazel.
So gold and education.
It's mazel is mokoim. It's a place.
Mm-hmm. I always think of mazel as luck.
No, that's what this is. Mazel is like, if you have all the three things, then you have mazel.
I'm not sure that I get that.
Well, I'll explain it to you later.
Okay. Well, we're back to life in Pittsburgh. Has it changed in the last 40 years? I mean, is there some way that it's improved or not improved? Or how would you describe your life in Pittsburgh as a working man, or how would you?
Yes,
if you were writing to somebody in the old country.
Yes, it is a working place. Pittsburgh, like I said before, was good to me. I enjoyed working in Pittsburgh and bringing up my family and see that they get an education. I made a good living in Pittsburgh. And I still live here to explain, to understand if it was better 40 years ago or today, the way I look at things. If you want to work hard and you don't want too much, you'll succeed. The problems with men is they don't understand when to stop. They never have enough. That's when, in the best of times, they have problems.
In a formal way, do you have any affiliations with political parties, with political organizations? Do you vote? Are you Republican, Democrat? Do you have any, stand politically?
My literature, my books, papers, all came from the Soviet Union. Moscow News, Sovietische Heimat,
Soviet
literature, yes, all I have them here. Soviet literature, and everything was mostly from the Soviet Union, except the local papers and New York Times, and a few magazines.
This was your interest. So there, did you never, are you an American citizen?
Yes.
Have you voted?
Yes, Democrat. Yes.
So you're saying that your political philosophy has come from the Soviet Union. Are you considered a communist? Are you called, or have you ever had been pointed out as a communist, had trouble with?
Since 1945, I sympathized with the Soviet Union, and I wish them the best to succeed. That's all I can tell you.
But I mean, have you been in any, we went through the McCarthy years, we went through the, have you ever been challenged or accused?
In 1955 I was challenged when I was getting my citizen papers here in Pittsburgh. And my neighbors called in and they told them that I was a communist in McKeesport. So when the naturalized person, how they call him, the naturalized person came to me and he asked me, is it true? I said, yes, I was very happy that the Soviet Union, he was Jewish actually. I told him that I was very happy that the Soviet Union won the war. I wish him the best. I got my citizen paper. Didn't have no problem. I told him the truth. Yes.
Yes. So you asked, when you were being sworn in, and they said, are you a communist?
Yes.
And did they say, are you a member of the Communist Party?
They never asked me that.
No.
No.
Do you say, if I would say to you, did you ever belong to the Communist Party? I mean, would you answer me, or is that none of my business?
Well, I'm not here to explain my past, which party I belong to. I can only tell you what you want me to know about Pittsburgh, coming here as a refugee,
yes.
And you all okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you just wonder if there was a period when people who seemed even not members but got into a lot of trouble, had trouble financially, politically, everything else. If they thought that you were sympathetic, as you said, this neighbor, was this somebody that was a friend or somebody that just...
I was a German, and I was talking to him a few times, and I expressed my thoughts, and he didn't like it. So the neighbor said to come and verify what kind of man I am, and he told him. And I told him the truth, that I was happy the Soviet Union won the war.
Mm.
Aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it depends, I guess, you had an intelligent interrogator or something, because somebody could have made a big deal out of that.
Well, Edward R. Murrow, MacArthur, there's always somebody who stands up and wins over in the end. Like Edward R. Murrow against MacArthur in the 50s. And you remember the story.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great man, Edward R. Murrow. He's a beautiful man.
We hope there's always somebody who...
But sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's too late, because you see, to understand men,